Glory to you, God, whose power working in us right now is doing infinitely more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Good morning. I would like you to imagine in your mind right now our boardroom, the big meeting room next to the parish hall. That is about the size of a synagogue in Nazareth at the time of Jesus. And I would like you to imagine our boardroom as a freestanding building in the middle of Nazareth, with a tall ceiling, with red tiles on its roof, different from the clay of the surrounding houses. And in this boardroom, in this synagogue, imagine benches all around and people packed in there, even some sitting on mats. Synagogue is, in the Greek, assembly, and it was used for a variety of purposes. But the main religious activity in the synagogue would have been the reading of a portion from the Torah, that first part we call the Old Testament, and a reading from the prophets. Now, the atmosphere in a synagogue of 2,000 years ago would not have been as reverent as a church service today, with silence and prayers, ritual and blessings, but might have been more a time for dialogue and discussion after the readings were shared. So after the reading from the prophets, the people would have expected the one who had done the reading to interact with a presentation and the possibility of debate. So let us imagine a Sabbath day 2,000 years ago as described in the gospel we just heard. As was the custom with Jesus, he went to the synagogue. It was in his hometown. There was a buzz in the air because this is the village in which he grew up, and they remembered him growing up there. This is the synagogue that his parents took him to faithfully. So Jesus walks into the synagogue, stands up to read, is given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolls the scroll and looks for a particular passage. Jesus knew what he wanted to read and why. The assembly settled down to listen. Jesus was probably standing in the middle of the room, just like we hear the gospel proclaimed in the middle of the aisle. So there was a silence and an expectation. Reports about his miracles and preaching had preceded him. The gospel today said he was praised by everyone, and so that synagogue was packed. He was the hometown boy, and they were ready to hear him. He had built up quite a reputation. You can bet Jesus was not boring. He was not someone who mumbled. He probably spoke with a certain dynamism and conviction. He gave off such a sense of confidence that people talked about him having authority like they had never experienced. And now he was back, and he was the one to read and preach that day, and they were probably excited and expecting an inspiring presentation. So a hush descended as Jesus embraced the scroll and looked around. Was he nervous, like I am every Sunday morning? It was his time. He was ready to own these words. And from his mouth he began, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he stopped. He had read very little. The room was probably uneasy. Why had Jesus chosen that passage? Why did he stop reading so soon? He spoke as if the words were describing himself. Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down in the chair designated for the one who was to teach after the reading. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then Jesus spoke up with that voice of authority. Today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing. And said nothing more, nothing at all. The words hung in the air and he let them. Jesus knew what he had just said and why. His people failed in living out this prophecy. His people had not believed that their mission was to be people anointed to bring good news to those among them who were poor or blind or held captive by their fears. Now Jesus knew that it was, in fact, going to be his mission to live these words. This passage from Isaiah was his mission statement. Next week, you will hear in the gospel that after he sat down, initially the people were complimentary until Jesus started pointing out what they were not living out. And they took exception to that. But that's next week, and stay tuned. Today we are left with his words hanging in the air. Today the scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing. Today. Yes, today in this church. And Jesus spoke these words not on his own, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we hear in the first sentence from today's gospel. That was the source of Jesus' conviction and the source of our power too. Jesus believed that the Spirit was in him and that the Spirit of God had anointed him for his mission. Each of us has a mission. Each of us has a purpose. We are alive for a reason. By being baptized as Christians, we have said yes to the mission of Jesus, whether we realize it or not. Each of us, through our baptismal covenant with God, are called to live out this mission statement of Jesus, to bring good news to others, that God is with us. And God desires that all people hear the good news that they can be set free from spiritual blindness, poor self-esteem, the captivity of alcoholism or drug abuse, the isolation of hatred, the isolation that results from refusing to forgive or speak to someone that hurt you, refusing to let another apologize, freedom from oppressive behaviors like justification, defensiveness, arrogance, and pride. Jesus' mission statement is our mission statement. And a mission statement is a guide. It is meant to inspire, give direction. Give direction for why we are a church or a corporation or a hospital or a company of any kind. Now, one day several months ago, I was waiting to rent a car from Enterprise Car Rental Agency. There were several people ahead of me, so I looked around for a place to sit down and maybe look at a magazine. And as I looked around the room, I noticed the framed mission statement of Enterprise Rental Corporation. So I read it, and I was impressed. But then I looked at the harried employees of Enterprise trying to handle the variety of customers, and I assumed that the mission statement was not foremost on their mind, but getting people into cars and getting them out of there was. Yet I also believed that all of them were going through a time when they knew that their professional care was what they were to project to each customer. And on that day, I felt the respect and courtesy of the employee who took care of me. That employee had come to embody the spirit of their mission statement. St. Francis of Assisi knew the mission statement of Jesus so well that he said, "Preach the gospel at all times. Use words when necessary." Actions speak louder than words. So the employees of Enterprise did not say why they were doing what they were doing. They just did what they needed to do in the spirit of how they had been trained, in the spirit of their mission statement. As Christians, we are meant to live out the mission of Jesus. We are meant to live out the mission of Jesus through the power of the Spirit as he did. But how? How do we actually come to experience the power of the Spirit? I think it is by being intentional, by deliberately choosing to let God use us as Jesus did. We need to say to God, "I am available to be used by you." Do not expect fireworks in your heart when you might pray this to God. But go ahead and say that. But what you can trust is God will be with you always, no matter what. And sometimes you will feel God's presence and sometimes you will not. God is with you whether you feel God or not. We can sense God's presence. Maybe it's an inspiration, a sense of peace, an assurance, a vision of what needs to be done, the nudge to say or do something that wasn't on your mind just a second before, maybe even a spontaneous act of love. To receive and be filled with the Spirit is an act of receptivity. It is a matter of taking time, pausing and saying to God, "I am yours, and I am willing to grow in becoming what you need me to be." This sense of God's presence can be built on looking for God's presence in the events of each day. For instance, on any given Sunday, make it a habit. Try to notice what words or phrase touch you as you hear the scriptures read. Notice if you have a desire to learn more about Jesus. Notice if you want to be more loving, more patient, more honest, more generous, a better listener, or helping without being asked. God is love. God is the power source. Jesus knew this and lived it. There is a part of today's gospel, some phrases that touch me. It is the passage, "The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him." That passage nudges me. That nudge is the Holy Spirit, nudging me to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus no matter what. That is one of the messages that I choose to take away from today's gospel. It is the message I hear in my heart as a way for me to better live more authentically my mission for Jesus. Our parish of St. Francis is re-engaging in the mission of Jesus through a new mission statement of our own. We believe that Jesus came that all might have a God-blessed life and have it more abundantly. Let yourself trust the process of becoming an instrument of God. It will all happen through God's power. So the first step is to believe this, that God will accomplish what God has begun in you. God is here. Jesus is real. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, who read and preached in the synagogue, healed, prayed, walked on this earth. Jesus Christ is God with us, and Jesus needs us to carry on his mission statement like never before. Ask God to open your heart to your part of this mission and be yourself so Jesus can say through you, today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing. Amen.